Today's the day. The quarantine is, I'm exercise. Today's Monday. We're starting the exercise program today, Mike.
No, you're not.
Yeah, we are.
No, you're not. Telling you. No, you're picking the worst possible time to start.
I know. The holiday season.
Thanksgiving's a couple of weeks away. And then you'll just kick the can down the road because you'll realize, well, I'm not going to do it right before the holidays because there's so much food then. And then you know what ends up happening, Chris? You and every other jabroni goes to the gym after New Year's.
No, I'm beating it by 2 months. I will be jogging at like 12:45 today. Oh, wait, shit, I think we have to record. Do I have
a recording? Well, Sugatz, unsurprisingly, has texted me that he is going to be 15 minutes late, so we can go ahead and start without him.
Shocking.
Yeah, maybe I'll go ahead and start with your revelation about working out.
Tony's the perfect person to be here for this because he's... Right, he's on this tip right now. He's been on it. He's ahead of me on this.
What happened?
I was thinking of starting today as the holiday seasons appear to start the diet today.
Good timing. He just dismisses you with a laugh. No one has ever made me want to go vegan more than Bailey Carlin's hope that's all right with you. Photos that he posts on Twitter.
This guy, his meals need to get over themselves. These meals.
I mean,
is he Googling pretentious recipes? What's the most pretentious recipe I could create right now?
Made.
They look good. I'm not gonna lie. I don't want to talk smack. Like they do look good, but get over. Did he used to be like a chef or something? The way he prepares these.
I don't know. I think he's authoring a cookbook.
Is there a correlation between Stugatz being late and Dan being off today?
Stugatz never seems... Whenever I give him like a little bit of a break, like today's an 8 o'clock as opposed
right.
to 7:40, anytime I give him a little bit of a break, he's always late.
Yeah.
I have to be like super regimented. Because right. even if he's a little late by 7:40, okay, it's a 7:50 start. It's...
Right.
He wanted to do it from home. I'm like, the show is already considerably worse with Dan being out. Why would you willingly make it worse? What? It's just, are you not a professional? Is it substitute teacher day? Oh, Dan's out, so I can be from home? Like, I don't understand why his brain works that way. Dan's out. Wait, do you feel like you have to come in the studio specifically because Dan's here? You do, right? That's...
Buddy, and then he hit you with a buddy when you. I don't know what he said after when you hit him with the no, but it, buddy, I just you know.
What's your possible excuse? He sounds like garbage when he's on remote.
Yeah,
he's not. He's certainly not an engineer. Why the studio is open? Why would you willingly want to make? Do you not care? I guess we'll get started. In earnest when Billy joins in, because I do want to cool. get your Tua excitement. I'm not going to do what you all think I'm going to do, which is just shit on your young quarterback because you shat on mine. That's the team obviously got some energy from that. But I will say.
He didn't look good. I mean, come on.
No. That's not even what I'm going to say. What I'm going to say is it should be Brian Flores' day. Not Tua Tagovailoa day.
Yeah, and it's not even that. It's defense day.
Yeah, but Brian Flores very clearly seems to own Sean McVay. Just own him. They were outgained, obviously, by 326 yards by the Rams, which is the most in the NFL this season. And it was a ho-hum victory at home. They scored in every single phase of the game.
Dude, the second quarter, that stretch in the second quarter of like
insane.
Three back-to-back touchdowns on like crazy plays.
It's insane. The Fox graphics person can't even keep up with what the hell's going on. Because
that was great.
The Fox graphics person just assumed that the Rams were marching into the end zone. The unexpected happens.
Then the next touchdown, they show the graphic of the guy who scored that last touchdown. Like they were a touchdown behind every single
they
time.
They were just chasing the entire time. It's like they kept everything in drafts and they fired off immediately and not knowing. I will say this is not. I really hope that this is not taken into like me shitting on him, but I did hear the commentator. Whoa, what accuracy! It was like a 6-yard throw down the middle of the field.
Oh no, I was right there with him. Oh, I saw the 4 or 5 plays I needed to with the accuracy. I saw it.
It was a, I guess, a decent throw, especially for a shorter quarterback over the line. It's a tough catch.
Yeah, he looked scared. He looked scared out there at points early.
Really?
I mean, not scared, but just like, it was just like, okay, this is his first game. I'm glad we're getting this out of the way because he needs to look better than this, which he will.
Yeah,
but I think he like a lot of RPOs. I'm a little worried about his safety. I don't know, man. Why, it's a lot.
Is Tua this incredible athlete that I wasn't aware of? Because the RPOs actually make more. Is that just Gailey sticking to his playbook? Because they make more sense with Fitzpatrick than they do with Tua.
But it's honestly, those are more run pass options for it's either a handoff or a quick slant throw. Yeah. Like very rarely does that turn into him running.
Yeah.
But that's like his specialty.
That's a Chan Gailey thing.
Well, even at Alabama, like I heard somebody saying that like a week ago, I was listening to some guy who broke him down in Alabama. Like nobody threw the slant run pass option better than Tua in terms of like anticipating that one touchdown to Devontae Parker was kind of that. It wasn't an RPO, but just anticipating that slant.
I guess what I'm taking exception to is every time he would hand it off, he would still flank out to the left. And I'm guessing in Tua's like lifetime, he's maybe had a QB keeper. You can count on one hand the times that he actually needs to act that out. If I'm a defense playing him, I just totally sell out. Like, you're not taking it outside. If you take it outside, God help you.
Jonathan Vilma was 100% buying into the hype. Like, there were a few throws Tua made where it's like, he's one of the few people in the league that can make that throw. And I'm like, is he? I don't know about that. Like, I like your enthusiasm.
That's who it was. Yeah, because Vilma was like super effusive in the praise of the Devontae Parker touchdown. I'm like, okay, it's on the money. It's actually a better catch than throw.
Yes.
When you consider how interfered Devontae Parker was on that play. But he was just like really all aboard. I don't know if that's him being a Miami guy, but he was all aboard it. And he just fueled it. I was getting texted dolphin emojis from people I haven't heard from in years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In years.
People with Dolphins were feeling themselves.
Yeah.
The craziest part, the biggest story to me was just the fact that we turned Jared Goff into like Nathan Peterman.
Yeah.
Like I think you're totally right. It was Brian Flores. And I know, but that scheme, dude, they had him looking. He doesn't always look that terrible. Like the Dolphins scheme deserves a lot of credit for that.
Well, I think it's McVay protects him from looking that terrible, right? Because of the scheme that they run, which is so run heavy. I mean, I their splits on run and pass are like really skewed, which makes me think, like, what if McVay had an actual legit quarterback? Like, if he had Deshaun Watson, let's say, how good would that scheme be?
It was crazy how Vilma was criticizing Goff so much. As much as he was praising Tua, every single time Goff dropped back, he's like, oh, he can't do that. That's not his style. It's like he can't just do a three-step drop. Like, since when did Goff become this terrible quarterback that can only live outside the pocket? Like, I guess I just don't watch a lot of Rams games.
That was one of Mina's picks, by the way, the Rams.
Mina. Man, she had, and the under, did she go with that under? Like, she's had a rough weekend.
Mina fell back down to earth. In spectacular fashion. I picked the wrong time to up the unit plays on old Mina.
Dan, that's, I blame Dan for that.
She, 0-3 on formal plays, 0-4 if you played the under in the Bears Saints game. This is such a bad beat. Such a bad beat.
The Chargers, man, I hate gambling. The Chargers screwed me, man.
I got
so
slaughtered
hard
on the NFL. Morning,
you
Billy.
Took straight up or
no, I took a -3 with a parlay, and I hit every other game. It was like
parlay.
Yeah, it was like a $25 parlay to win. Like, because I like to throw in every Sunday a little couple fun parlays just for.
Yeah.
And I only the chart. It was like 25 to win like 650, and the Chargers were like the only thing that lost.
Oof.
Yeah, it was bad.
Oof, that's
there were a lot of statistical anomalies, like the Rams outgaining the Dolphins by 326 yards, which is the biggest discrepancy in the NFL, and didn't really feel like they were in it after that defensive touchdown.
What was the score outside of that stretch in the second quarter where the Dolphins just got like three touchdowns back to back to back? Like, obviously I can do the math, but like they lose if not for that ridiculous just, oh man, that defense. They looked like the Oh man, that defense, dude.
Well, it was what, 2017.
The second quarter, Miami outscored the Rams 21-3. The Rams outscored them the rest of the way. But not much. The third quarter was scoreless. In the fourth quarter, the Rams had a touchdown to hold on the Dolphins scoreless. But it came across on television. I told you that there was a bunch of demand for those tickets. It came across on television like there was a legit atmosphere for that game, especially when crazy things happen. Everyone was just texting me, "What is happening? Oh my God." And
yeah.
And Tua's going to get a lot of the credit. I mean, 12 of 22 for 93 yards and a touchdown. He didn't have to do much. To me,
Are people giving Tua a lot of credit? I feel like people are realizing that this game was that he got that defense stole the show in this game. I think. I mean, maybe really? I'm wrong.
I just think that it just adds to the overall excitement. He wasn't great by any stretch of the imagination. He didn't have to be. He also didn't show you that he was bad by any stretch of the imagination either. You just didn't need him. Hey, Billy Stugatz is unsurprisingly 15 minutes late, so we're trying to have a casual conversation about the game yesterday before we get into Stugatz's take-a-tude. But I was making the argument that while it was 2-a-day, that Brian Flores really kind of stole the show, and I don't know. I'm not a big subscriber to Dolphins Twitter. I assume that a lot of the Heat Twitter people are still Dolphins fans, but was it still 2-a-day after the game, or was Brian Flores getting some of the shine, deservedly so?
I mean, Emmanuel Ogba, I thought he, it was, if it wasn't Brian Flores' day, it was Emmanuel Ogba's day, or Roe. It's also nice to see Xavier Howard and Byron Jones healthy. That gives them a lot of flexibility to blitz. But I don't know, Billy, what'd you think of the madness yesterday?
Who's Roe?
Eric Roe. He's one of the DBs that they got from the Patriots.
I thought you were giving someone a nickname, calling someone Roe.
No.
I didn't see the game.
Why not? How could you miss? I texted you yesterday.
I thought you were super into it on your IG story. You put up a still of Tua.
Yeah. It's called playing the game.
You didn't want to.
Sometimes life gets in the way.
Yeah, busy day yesterday. I checked in a couple times, and it was a blowout, and then I saw Tua wasn't spectacular. And I saw the reports, Chris, that, we had kind of said maybe this is what's going on, is they're seeing what they have in Tua, and if Tua is what they think that Tua is, because they're going to have a high pick at the next draft, and they need to figure out what they have in him.
I'm glad you mentioned
it. It was cute that Ryan Fitzpatrick dressed in a Hawaiian shirt, and then Tua, they walked in together.
That was cool. I'm glad that you mentioned that article, because Stugatz did send it to me over the weekend, and he's like, "You guys are assholes. You laughed at me." Billy caped up for Stugatz's argument, and he's absolutely right. This Tua decision is in part because since they have such a high pick with the Texans have had an impossibly difficult schedule to start their season. Now the Dolphins conceivably could be in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes, depending how some results go. So they want to be able to have the evaluation on Tua entering this draft pick where there's still a shot that they draft number one. So in so many words, Stugatz was right. Holy bleep, Stugatz was right.
That would be insane if they ended up.
Hey, Stugatz was right? Holy Stugatz was right.
Chris, you're the biggest Dolphins fan here, so would you take the rest of the season with a game like the one that happened yesterday, or would you rather Tua have, well, I guess it's obvious, you'd rather Tua have a Joe Burrow-type season and take that amount of wins and know that you have something with Tua?
I don't feel, obviously, this is not a bold statement, but there's no big future with Ryan Fitzpatrick. So I'm not going to get fooled by that little two-game or three-game winning streak we had before Tua. This whole season is about the Tua plan. This is bigger than Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like Mike said, we got to figure it. We could end up with a top five pick. So we got to just see what we have in Tua. Like, I am good just punting on a potential playoff run to see what Tua is.
Hopefully the pick doesn't matter, right? Because you have the Texans pick. So as long as the Texans are bad, it doesn't matter how good you are or not. What I'm asking is more, would you rather have a successful winning season the way that you had a game yesterday and still not know what Tua is, or just, miss the playoffs, go 7-9, let's say, and Tua, you know, has a Joe Burrow type season. Like, that would be the obvious way to go.
So wait, so you're saying he ends up playing better, but they don't get the results they got yesterday. So he plays well and they lose, or they play, he doesn't play well and they win. That's an odd scenario.
I think if I follow the hypothetical, is you have like one of these win-loss records that maybe reflects the Bears. You get to the playoffs because you do the little things like special teams touchdowns, defensive touchdowns like you had yesterday. But each individual game, it sort of goes like this, where you can't make an individual evaluation on Tua just yet. Would you rather have a definitive answer on Tua in the games that he is playing, or bump that, no, just give me the dubs?
I'll take what happened yesterday. I'll be unsure with Tua.
Wait, with flashes of accuracy.
With the defense being a dominant defense. If the Dolphins actually have a dominant defense, I'll ride that out this season.
This is the opposite of what you were saying you wanted then. You said the future's about Tua. So if you have yesterday's game for the rest of the year and you make the playoffs, you're going to have no idea what you have in Tua.
But Billy, in this scenario...
I thought this was an easy scenario. Wow, this has become complicated.
But in this scenario, Chris gets to extend what the space that he's been living in for the last few months, which is he still has Tua in the chamber.
Yeah. You still have the hope in the chamber
because you still don't know whether or not Tua is good.
So in this scenario where the Dolphins defense is dominating and the reason for the wins, Tua is just a flat line. Like, he's not down, he's not up. He's just like there, kind of like being a game manager. I'm fine with that. For once, like, I guess, but then we got to know about Trevor. I'm confused. I don't know. This is a confusing question. I just want to win, and I want Tua to be great. Can we have that? Is that an option?
No, that's not. I mean, sure, but that wasn't one of them.
Were you cursing Cam Newton when he fumbled? Because now you're looking at the division. This is a legitimate playoff chase. That's a good win over the Rams. I know it's hard to travel from west to east and on a 1 o'clock start, especially on a shorter week for the Rams, but that's a quality win. The Miami Dolphins have really quality wins. Going on the road to San Francisco, they look like a playoff team. I didn't think that they were very good, and then this streak got rattled off. And they're one of the more impressive sides. A little bit streaky maybe under Brian Flores' tenure, but when this team buys in, they have some of these inexplicable victories. And lump that one in. I thought the Rams were better than the Dolphins. The stats might actually reflect that.
I know.
But... hell, man, you're in this thing. Don't get too bogged down in the numbers. You're in a division that's a little bit weaker. You have the Patriots at home. They certainly look beatable. You have the Buffalo Bills. Now, it's not into the teeth of Bills Mafia, but that's going to be a difficult one. Buffalo kind of feels like they finally have a shot at winning this division, but you're alive in that. You have a game against them. So...
I believe the Dolphins are, unless it's changed after yesterday's win, 6-1 to win the division. I feel like those are good betting odds.
I mean, I would agree. I think that, I mean, if you want a long shot, they can control their, not necessarily their own destiny, because that just brings them level. But I mean, it's a funky season where you're not going on the road and playing in these super hostile environments, as you're seeing right now with Clemson. A season, as you saw with the Patriots, a season can get totally wrecked by this virus. So just get yourself in position for funny things to happen. And I'm not even saying that the Miami Dolphins are a team that need the breaks to go their way. On their own merit, they might be a playoff team, especially if there's an extension of the playoffs like there is this year.
Why are you guys talking about winning the division after yesterday's game? Yesterday's game was somewhat like, you're not going to have someone return a punt for a touchdown every week, fumble recovery for a touchdown every week. Your quarterback threw for 90 yards. Like, rain on the Tua parade, but
you're
going to win the division. You're going to beat the Bills all of a sudden, who have looked good this year.
I mean, because, really, that defensive performance yesterday by the Dolphins was legitimately impressive. I'm with you on nothing about Tua yesterday. Can you say like he's 1,000% the answer? He's 1,000% going to take us to the playoffs this year. I'm with you on that. But the defense looked really good against a team that we thought was good, I think. So, you know, I can't take away negatives from yesterday. I'm with you that maybe it doesn't mean they're a Super Bowl contender, but I'm not going to be poo-pooing on them today. Come on. This is a good day.
I mean, the defense had their moments, but they gave up 471 yards.
That's true. It was a statistical anomaly. There's
they had the ball a lot. They had the ball a lot, too, that the Rams offense.
But in a season, you're going to want to have a lucky win. You didn't need Tua to do anything to win this game.
No, that's fine. I'm not saying – what I'm saying is, what did you see from yesterday that you think you're going to win the division? Because
defensive pressure.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe it's not sustainable. Maybe they can't do that every game.
Let me take a stab, even though I'm certainly not a Dolphin fan, but if I'm playing one, and even just as a neutral, I have faith in my coach. I had mm-hmm. faith in my coach last year. This season kind of got off to a shaky start, and I wasn't exactly sure if last year was a flash in the pan, and he just got this ragtag group to buy into Fitzmagic, and it got hot. Or if he's a legitimately good coach, because as you know, the book is out on these Bill Belichick assistants. He certainly has Sean McVay's number. And now you look to your sideline and you feel confident. Look, he's match wits against Belichick at Foxborough, came away with an improbable win over Tom Brady's Patriots. That might have changed the course of that franchise forever and made them pull the ripcord on Tom Brady a year early, which also helps the Dolphins. The Rams came in favored. Everyone would pick them as the superior team. And you have that blowout in the second quarter, specifically because what your defense is once again doing to Sean McVay's offense, a repeat of what you saw in that Super Bowl. I feel really excited about my head coach right now. And I still have all the hope about Tua. We'll find out about Tua later. I'm actually happy that I didn't have a bad performance from Tua. I didn't have a good one, but I didn't need to decide. Brian Flores took the shine away from Tua, and I'm more than happy about that because I feel confident in this coach.
Ah, me too. B-Flow.
And even if you get to the playoffs and you can poke holes in it, like you're a fraudulent one, like, for example, Cleveland Browns have an easy schedule this year. Mm-hmm. But if they make it to the playoffs, this administration can say, hey, we did something quantifiable that no one has done for 30 years. You need to start stacking success, and Brian mm-hmm. Flores just buys himself more time, more credibility, more capital with the fans, and more ownership within that locker room for players to actually buy in. So all in all, yeah, it was a bit of a fluky performance, but you'll take those in a season. And that's just massive now in an NFL during a global pandemic where they've extended the playoffs by a position. A massive result for the Miami Dolphins.
Obviously, you can't predict turnovers for touchdowns. You can't predict special teams touchdowns. But if you look at what the Rams have done this season, and not to harken on the Rams a lot, but their four of their five wins were against the NFC East. And we obviously know that entire division is absolutely garbage, right?
Like, are you doing the Billy thing? You're poo-pooing on this.
It's not about poo-pooing it. It's just about looking. We think, oh, the Rams are good. They got this high-flying offense. McVay, oh, my God, Aaron Donald. But – if we go, at the time, the Cowboys had Dak and it was good, but they beat the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Giants, and the Washington football team. And then they beat the Bears. Like, they're not that good of a team.
Yeah, that's not impressive. I will admit.
It's not impressive, right? Like, they have this high-flying, you know, theory that, oh, yeah, look, McVay and all these people. But when it comes down to it, like, they may just not be a good football team.
It's not poo-pooing. I just ask you, and you said you're talking about winning the division, and I'm asking you what you saw yesterday. And you're like, the defense had a great game, but they gave up 471 yards. True. It's 20 yards less than the Chiefs got yesterday. It's 120 yards more than the Seahawks got yesterday. Yeah. They drove the ball. It was just kind of, they got lucky.
Yeah, but no points. Bemba don't break defense, Billy. What are you trying to say? The Rams are a very good team? Is that what's happening here? The Rams aren't very good? Are we shitting on the Dolphins' loss yesterday? That was a nice win.
No. Chris has the Dolphins winning the division as a result of yesterday's game.
First of all, I think Mike mentioned the winning the division part. I'm just saying yesterday was a good thing. I am not going to take away negatives from yesterday with the Dolphins. Agreed. I'm with you. They gave away a lot. They gave up a lot of yards. That's fine. But I'm not going to hear any of the negative. I'm having a good day today. That's all it.
Chris, did it not feel like a blowout though? Like halfway through the game, it felt like a blowout. Right, like it was another touchdown after another touchdown with special teams and defense. It almost felt like the score was 42-7.
Yeah,
and but they weren't. It wasn't. It was really close.
Tony, and to your point, that also takes away from plays that you would want to evaluate Tua with, because the game situation was such that it's just sort of run this thing out at this point. Let's hold back. Let's not put players in position to get hurt. Let's just sit on this lead. So that also might have something to do with a thoroughly unimpressive stat line from Tua Tagovailoa. But I think the encouraging thing is, if you look at the division, you have faith in your head coach being able to match wits with the Bills, being able to take Josh Allen, who's a quarterback, not unlike Goff, that we have question marks. There's been a bit of a reversion to the mean with Josh Allen. You feel confident in your head coach because he's proven that he can go to rivals within the division and win on the road late in the season in cold weather games like he did with New England last year.
I think the obvious problem is you feel good about your head coach. You feel good about your football team. There was a chance they could win the AFC East, although their schedule is pretty difficult the rest of the way. You feel good about your GM and his ability to acquire and accumulate draft picks because they have a ton moving forward over the next 2 years. The one question you wanted answered yesterday, though, so you know you have all of that. You just still don't know if you have a quarterback. And that's what was, yesterday, that's what it was all about. Try saying that a couple of times. That's what yesterday was all about, and we still don't have the answer. And I think that's the frustrating part to Dolphin fans like Chris.
But, Sugats, right? You're getting closer to answers on guys like Christian Wilkins, who made impact plays in that game. Xavien Howard had a rough year last year on the heels of getting that big contract. He's been lights out this year. So lights out that the Dolphins are publicly refuting reports from Omar Kelly, which was a bad look, and he had to retract that statement. You made a signing in your head coach. You feel good about that. Devontae Parker went from bust to absolutely nailing that draft pick and now a key weapon in the continued growth and development about Tua. While you entered this game hoping for an evaluation on the quarterback, you may not have gotten that, but you got an evaluation on some of the other high picks, Billy.
But in a game that you feel like you're winning 45-0, that seems like the time to let him loose, see what he can do. If you're not going to blow the lead, your defense is playing well, see what he can have. Don't just manage the game for the win and not put him in positions to make risky plays.
But it ended up being like a 10-point game. Like if you come out there in the third quarter and start whipping it around instead of running the ball, that they could have gotten back in that game.
Especially early on when Aaron Donald made that impact play, everyone's life flashed before their eyes. Like, oh my God, is this going to be the entire game? And not that he was neutralized, but he didn't have that same impact. But I guess part of that was you were fearing Aaron Donald doing that if you were just chucking it downfield.
That play is great because when it happened, every Dolphin is like terrified and like, oh my God, he's a bust. This is the worst. Like we made a mistake. Justin Herbert, all the thoughts start happening. And then after the game, you look back on it. It's like when your kid takes permanent marker and draws on the inside of your car when they're a baby. You look back and you laugh on it. Like now we can look back on that Aaron Donald play and be like, that was adorable. Look how fun that was.
It doesn't help that at 4:05, Justin Herbert comes out slinging the ball all over the field. Now they lost the game, but that guy, he might be the best quarterback in this class. Sorry, Chris.
Herbert and Burrow with a great win over the Tennessee Titans. This looks to be a very good class, and you still have the outlier like, someone's going to have to be the bust in this class. Is it Tua? The chances are still there.
Is Herbert going to play well enough that he's going to get Anthony Lynn fired? Yes. Like, he didn't mean on starting him. They're not winning games. They have a quarterback. Is he going to lose his job because his rookie is too good?
Right, when people start saying, how are you not winning with this guy?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
And that becomes overnight. If he does get fired, because they have what you're all hoping for, the good, productive quarterback with a high ceiling on a rookie contract, that becomes one of the more desirable jobs. And they have blown 4 straight games. Well, they won one of the games, but they have blown 16-point leads for a month straight. That is impossible to do in that sport. I'm actually surprised that the record didn't belong to the Falcons.
I do like that, though, that he's playing so well that people will start questioning why Lynn is not winning with him. And I think Billy's right. He's going to get fired.
I mean, Anthony Lynn's going to get fired. Yeah, what happened to Fangio? Did Fangio break his nose?
Thanks.
At some point, because there was very clearly blood on his sweater and he had a bandage over the bridge of his nose.
He has the vibe of a guy that just gets a bloody nose when he gets like real intense.
Yeah, but there was a bandage over the bridge. Did he headbutt somebody? This is not your, a mile high, thinner blood, and I got a nosebleed because of the altitude. No, there was very clearly an impact injury that occurred.
When coaches make bad coaching decisions, they look so much more dumb when they have the face shield. You need to go with a mask if you're going to make dumb decisions. Like Anthony Lynn was just standing on the sidelines looking confused with his shield over his face. You just look ridiculous.
Did you guys like Mike Pereira breaking down with a telestrator on the last play of that game, the Broncos game, where he said he got his left cheek in and he's circling on the screen? Like, there's his cheek down. That's a good touchdown.
I learned something new every
the
football
cheek
Sunday.
The plane.
I learned something new every football Sunday.
The shin?
That's a shin. A shin equals a knee. Or a shin equals 2 feet. I had no idea.
As somebody who had the Chargers -3 in a parlay, that official waving incomplete on that final play is one of the most infuriating things I've ever. I was like, the referee's just like, no catch, no catch. I'm like, I think it's a catch, but thank God. And then they reverse it. Like that frustrated me.
Yeah, it was a bad beat. I had the
same
thing.
He was so off the line, though.
I know. It was obvious.
He was like standing 10 feet the opposite way. And I was like, why are you calling it completed?
It was one of those things where I knew it was a touchdown, but just him waving no, it gave me that glimmer of hope.
Wait, like, what
did I miss?
Horrible pass interference also leading to that. God.
Oh, terrible, right? How do you make that call with the game on the line when Chris has the Chargers -3? How do you make you swallow your whistle there?
Well, guys, even though it was a bye week for the Miami Hurricanes, it was a huge week for the Miami Hurricanes football program and this staff and the ACC as a whole, because we have a monster football game on Saturday on NBC, a game that we wouldn't have had this pandemic not occurred. Clemson traveling to Notre Dame. But obviously, the big news is that Trevor Lawrence is not going to play in this game for Clemson. Now, that directly impacts the Miami Hurricanes' chances, because this year in the ACC, there are no divisions. So best two teams in the ACC make the ACC championship game. If you're holding out hope for the Miami Hurricanes to make it to Charlotte once again, you need Notre Dame to drop an ACC game. You had this one circled. This was the game that they were obviously going to drop because they were playing Clemson, the number one team in the nation, with Trevor Lawrence. But now, the pandemic has reared its ugly head and is directly affecting this college football season. The best player in the nation was out against Boston College, and you saw how tight that game was, and now he is out against Notre Dame. So a game that you had circled as a loss for Notre Dame now is in question.
And just quickly, Notre Dame, Clemson are both 5-0. Well, 6-0 for Clemson, 5-0 for Notre Dame. Canes are 4-1. That's why Mike is kind of stating the importance of this game coming up here, and why Notre Dame, you thought this would be a loss, which would benefit the Canes, and now we're not so certain.
Now you're not so certain, even though that Clemson quarterback struggled early on, and obviously it's difficult and deflating when you don't have Trevor Lawrence, but he's a five-star recruit in his own right, and we saw him be athletic against the University of Miami. I'm going to have an interesting sort of take with all of this, because we obviously saw the gulf between the Miami Hurricanes and the Clemson football program a couple of weeks ago. It's not tight at all. If they make it back to Charlotte, you don't have much confidence in them shortening that gulf between the two teams. So, not the worst thing in the world for the Miami Hurricanes to be victims of circumstance, for Notre Dame to win this game, the ACC championship be Notre Dame and Clemson, and let's just say the Miami Hurricanes, who should be favored, I think, in the rest of their games. I know they're a 10-point favorite coming off a bye at NC State. NC State has an injury to their quarterback. I'm going to be on NC State because that's just the book on Manny Diaz bye weeks. But it's not the worst thing in the world to be the one-loss Miami Hurricanes football program, shut out of the ACC championship game because COVID happened, and not have to prove yourself a fraud in front of the nation in that ACC championship game. You stomp your feet and say, we should be in that college football playoff the way Alabama was allowed in without playing in their conference championship game. It's not a bad situation right now that Miami finds itself in.
I think back to that Boston College game, it's interesting because that Boston College Clemson game was close because of the defense. Clemson's defense played terrible in that first half, but the narrative is just going to be that game was close because Trevor Lawrence was out. But it really, like, I think that game would have been similar even with Trevor Lawrence, the way their defense played in the first half. So it stinks that the narrative is kind of giving them a pass because Lawrence was out, when really their defense played poorly in that first half.
You want to not make the ACC championship game because you don't want to be exposed, but then want to complain that you should be in the Final Four?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Because this
makes
is me.
Sense, huh?
This is me being self-aware.
Right.
Would I like to be in the ACC championship game against Clemson?
Or crazy.
Sure, sure. No, this is me actually being pretty rational. I know that the Miami Hurricanes are not as good as Clemson, right? I was smacked in the face with that a couple of weeks ago.
Now
then they shouldn't be in the Final Four.
Right.
I'm saying this in terms of a buy-in from your recruiting base, what you can sell your recruits, what Manny Diaz can have to his name, being that fraudulent one-loss team that's like, we got screwed out of the playoff. While you and I both know Miami's ceiling, and I'm being self-aware right now, Miami is certainly not in that class.
Wait, Mike, you're saying you'd rather have the argument that the Canes could have made
if I'm
the Final Four,
if
got
I'm
robbed of the Final Four, than actually going out and trying to win the game.
Yeah, this is right, me okay. separating myself. The Miami Hurricanes homer absolutely wants to make it to the ACC championship. And by the way, Mike, the Hurricanes homer will talk himself into the Canes covering against Clemson like he did the last time, stupidly so. But what I am saying specifically to Manny Diaz is it's not the worst thing in the world. It's probably a better situation if he doesn't make the ACC championship game, because that's going to be an additional loss to his record. If he is one of these one-loss teams that gets shut out because, hey, look at the top of the conference, we have two college football playoff teams, it's not a bad situation for him because he gets to sell that to a fan base that wanted his head on a platter after he loses to the likes of FIU and Louisiana Tech. He turns around, one of the great turnaround seasons in Miami program history. He gets buy-in from recruits saying, hey, I was just a one-loss team. I think it's not a bad thing if they find themselves shut out due to this Trevor Lawrence thing, because that's one less loss. And it would probably be an ugly loss, the way that it was the last time Miami played Clemson in the ACC championship game. So I'm just saying, from a salesman standpoint, it's not a bad thing.
I mean, I get you. So if your two options are get slacked in the ACC championship game or be that third team out that's like, oh, what if you let us get in that game?
Yeah. But you'll never know. Right.
I'm conceding to Billy that, well, that's a bit of a horseshit way to go about things. It's a bit cowardice. And I personally want to get to the ACC championship game.
Right.
But if I am Manny Diaz, that it can easily be spun into a win. That's a winning position for Manny Diaz. You win by not getting your head caved in the ACC championship game.
But you walk around telling everyone how you had you made it.
Oh, I could have been a contender.
You would have beat him by 21 points.
Like I would have been peaking. I would have been so great. I would have been a college football star had I not hurt myself in high school.
We were peaking at the right time.
Yeah, man.
Doesn't it help with recruiting if you make it to the ACC championship or you make it to the Final Four?
Billy, he's already agreeing that it's probably not the right way, the competitive way to go about this.
It's not even the way I want.
It's a backdoor into a larger conversation.
I think
to Mike's point, a recruit might be more intrigued to go to a Miami that was like just outside of the ACC championship game and like just on the doorstep one to get in, as opposed to a Miami team that got to the ACC championship game and got shellacked.
Here's what you sell. Hey, kid, you're the kid that's going to get me in.
Yes.
And not only, and once we get in, you're the kid that's going to get me over the top.
Right, because Miami is trying to keep these five-star athletes, and they did a better job this last offseason in keeping these kids in state. Clemson has South Florida kids. Clemson and Miami are directly competing for some of these recruits. So why on earth would you want an opportunity for Clemson to show the world and to those recruits, we're better than this team by about 40? It's not the worst thing in the world.
I love when Billy gets frustrated by ridiculous concepts and ideas, yet no one on the show has had more of them than him. And I think it makes me laugh every single time. Mike's acknowledging that it's a terrible way to go about this. But it's something I could hear you saying.
And though, I'm conceding to you. Billy, I'm conceding to you that Miami is as bad as
you think. I made this argument like 2 years ago also. I'm in a strange spot today where I've been the rain cloud on Tua because everyone's like, yeah, Super Bowl for sure. Oh, they're going to just give away their picks. They don't need anyone. Tua's the best. The defense is amazing.
We didn't say that.
I'm like, okay. Maybe not. I don't know. Now this scenario, I'm like, I don't know. don't know if that makes a ton of sense, but okay.
Someone has to be the urinator when Dan's out.
Yeah, I guess, but I'm conceding to you.
No, it doesn't have to be like that. I mean,
I'm conceding.
Urinate, it's just, right. You know, your whole sales pitch is, we weren't good enough to get into the ACC championship game, but if we get you, we will be and we'll win.
Yeah.
But if you get there and you lose, you could just as easily say, listen, we're just you away from winning it. Now we're two steps away from that.
Right? I mean, the way that you said it so bluntly, I think it works to the advantage of Manny Diaz, who's selling it. Look, it comes as it's as black and white as one less loss in that loss column. It's that transparent and obvious. You get one less loss, and you get to say to your fan base that wanted you out, look at this. I turned a losing season into a one-loss season in one off season. In one offseason, I was able to do that. What I can do with another year. Instead of having another loss and being called a fraud by everybody because you lose 42-17 again, I could see if I'm Manny Diaz, yes, I'm a competitor. I want to get to the ACC championship game. I could also spin that into a win. But it's not a bad scenario that Miami sees itself on. By the way, I don't think Miami's going to find themselves in this situation because built into this construct is them not losing the rest of the season. And they could just as well lose to NC State. I'm just saying there is a path for Manny Diaz to convince the likes of me and people like me and people in West 32 that he is on the right track if he avoids that ACC championship game altogether, despite winning the rest of his games.
But if it plays out this way, you can also throw into the mix, Notre Dame will not be a part of this conference much longer.
Right, they're not going to play in the ACC championship.
I got to tell you, I like your strategy, Mike. Yeah. I do.
My strategy, what I'm throwing out there, is one of cowardice. But right. I readily acknowledge that.
Yeah.
That's good. You're getting buy-in from me.
Right.
And by the way, I don't like Manny Diaz. I've been on record. I don't want him as my head coach.
I was going to say, do you want Manny to have that excuse?
I want the head coach to succeed. I don't think Manny Diaz is the right guy for the job. I want more than anything for him to prove me wrong. Because I'm a Miami Hurricanes fan through and through. I'm a season ticket holder. I love the program. And I will be the first hypocrite in line wearing a turnover chain and saying, We got jobbed. We should have been in the college football playoff. I want to be wrong with Manny Diaz. Do I see it? No. I see so many red flags. Anytime you give them time to prepare for a game, they come out flat. I don't feel like we have any sort of tactical advantage anytime we enter a game against one of the elite coaches. That being said, I want to be wrong. I want my team to be good. I would rather him get blown out and for everybody to see my side, which is this guy's not good enough. How can you not know that off of last season? But if this is the situation, let's go. Let's get buy-in. Let's convince some impressionable high schoolers that we're actually better than we actually are.
We're close.
Have them come here to the... Yes! Fool some kids. Be one loss. And Billy, here's another thing that we're not taking into consideration. Derek King could come back next year. I don't know what his pro prospects are. He had decent pro prospects when he was in Houston, but now he's getting to a tipping point in age that he's probably going to be drafted low anyways because you're going to take some other prospects over him. If you want to convince Derek King to stay, it's just a play on, hey, we can get to the national championship game. We are starting next season against Alabama in one of those premier kickoff games. We can get there if you stay here, Derek. It goes a long way to keep
him. Is that the first game of the year next year?
Yeah. In Atlanta.
Ooh.
Right.
I have to admit, I'm more confused now, Mike, with you than I was like 10 minutes ago. Like, do you like I was with you on like rooting for that, but then you're like, I don't even want this. I want him out of here, Manny. Like, it's like, he's I have no idea what you want. Yeah,
my take is built on this could be a good thing for the program to sell. That has remained consistent throughout. Is it even what I want? No. I think Miami is a fraud. I don't have faith in the head coach. I want the head coach to prove me wrong because I love the program, but I don't think he is. But I think Miami has the best chance to succeed, and the staff has the best chance to succeed if they don't get their head caved in the ACC championship game. I think you have better chances of keeping the quarterback, which is the best quarterback Miami's had since Ken Dorsey. I think there are a lot of positive things here if Miami finds himself a victim of circumstance. So all I'm just throwing out there, and I'm well past the tipping point of being annoying right now, even though I'm not actually rooting for Miami in this instance, I'm conceding everything that people would complain about.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is shaping up to be a good thing for Miami.
Right. If it all plays out, unfortunately, I have the Canes losing three of the last five games. Yes.
Yeah.